Welcome back. 3:48, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And on this Thursday afternoon, I want to check in with Guy Taylor, Washington Times State Department correspondent. Hello, Guy. How are you?
Hey, Andy. How are you doing?
Doing just fine. Some big news this afternoon. The White House confirming chemical weapons were used in Syria. Wow.
Yes. Well, sort of.
Well, okay. Not
100%. The White House put out a statement on this after really pressure from Israel, France, and Britain over the last few days. And finally, the White House has come out and said, well, it's very likely that that chemical weapons have been used by the military forces fighting on behalf of Syrian embattled Syrian President Bashar Assad.
Mm-hmm. Now, this I guess they'd have to be very careful with, because if I recall correctly, in watching a certain speech from a certain president of the United States, this would be crossing the red line.
Of course. I think they also have to be careful because of the Iraq war and the memory of the American public, who really elected Obama as an anti-war president, about nuclear weapons in Iraq. So anything that has to do with weapons of mass destruction, chemical or biological weapons in the Middle East, there's certainly a posture by the Obama administration that we've got to be extremely careful about declaring whether they're present or not.
All right.
But when it comes, though, just to answer your question about the red line, this is a great point, because Obama himself has come out repeatedly in the last 6 months and said, well, if there are chemical weapons used in Syria, it will represent the crossing of a red line. This amid calls from Republicans for the United States to get more deeply involved in aiding the opposition that's fighting against Syrian President Bashar Assad. The problem is that President Obama nor Hillary Clinton or John Kerry or anyone in the Pentagon realm has actually been able to clarify what the consequence would be. What does that mean,
mm-hmm.
that this crosses a red line? So if the administration comes out now and says, oh, chemical weapons have been used in Syria, well, then what? Are we talking about airstrikes? What is the United States going to do in response to this? I was just at the State Department. I asked that question very specifically to the people close to John Kerry. They had no answer for
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
So it's an exposure of a very confusing policy coming out of the White House, and I think, you know, as critical as I am, I hope and think that the administration is doing the best job they can to answer that question pretty quickly here by talking to U.S. allies in Europe and figuring out, is this going to be U.S. special forces going into Syria? Is it going to be Jordanian special forces going in to secure chemical weapon sites? Or are we talking about the possibility of a NATO-backed Libya-style bombing campaign that's suddenly going to come up in the coming days and weeks?
You know, it's interesting, because I believe John McCain, through his efforts today on TV just in the past couple of hours, has opened a door for the administration, because he has been recommending a no-fly zone to protect the rebels.
Sure.
And
yeah,
that would be something that you would think the administration would say, you know, we're not bombing them. Maybe we're just going to protect an area for
right.
those fighting the regime.
This is something that the people close to Obama himself, in the inner circle in the National Security Council, in the inner circle in the foreign policy team, are debating and talking about. And
mm-hmm.
high-level cabinet members from formerly Panetta to Hillary Clinton to Petraeus have all talked about this with Obama. And Obama himself has resisted embracing that type of an action. So I think the debate is on now. You know, as to why the administration has resisted, I think it's politics. I think it's an idea of, you know, trying to keep Syria out of the limelight. The United States, under President Obama, has been able to extract itself from a very long occupation in Iraq, and the idea of something like a no-fly zone, if you'll recall, what started the U.S. involvement in Iraq 20 years ago was a no-fly zone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's this sense that we don't want to repeat what we did with the policy that led the United States to war in Iraq in 2003. But yes, John McCain has been calling for that. Others, some Democrats have called for that. I think there's a serious debate, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's a move towards that in the coming days and weeks.
Okay. All right. I want to take you to a story that you wrote. Russia never replied to U.S. request for more info on Tsarnaev warning. Now, that means we were tipped off, and we tried to get more information, what, three times?
Yes. So this is all coming out. Just to give you a little background on this story, if listeners didn't read it. So the FBI has been coming up to the Hill and various other intel people. I presume the CIA as a representative that's been coming up to Capitol Hill this week to hold these secret briefings with the Senate and House Intelligence Committee members to try and give them updates on, you know, the investigation into the bombings in Boston. So what's coming out, what came out last night, was one of these briefings happened with the House Intelligence Committee, and a couple lawmakers came out afterwards and said, well, hey, we can't really tell you what the classified briefing was, but one of the key details that came out is that originally U.S. authorities were tipped off by Moscow that there was some interest in the activities of one of the bombers. The United States, then, presumably the FBI, although lawmakers would not say exactly who, reached back to Moscow on three different occasions and said, all right, well, we got this thing. We want to know, do you have a file on this guy? Have you got more information? And every time that happened, and this is in like the last two or three years leading up to the April 15 bombing in Boston, that the Russians didn't really respond. They were like, oh, no, we just got this tip. But, you know, so this type of commentary creates the specter that Russia was somehow not cooperative with the United States in investigating this case. The catch here, because I really don't want to turn this into, you know, alarmist, the Russians didn't, you know, they concealed information. I think the catch here is that Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, as much of an adversary as he is to Washington in many ways, he gave a speech this morning in Moscow where he really spoke out and said the United States and Russia need to be cooperating now on this. Looking forward, we cannot look, what happened. We need to get on the same page. And lawmakers and the FBI, all of the statements coming out this week suggest that FBI agents are running around with Russian agents right now in Dagestan and Chechnya trying to get to the bottom of what exactly the connection to that part of the world is to the Boston attacks.
Okay, so we tried three times, so that should quell the arguments from some that the FBI dropped the ball, right?
I would think. I mean, I think that, you know, what's so interesting about this, Andy, compared to the Benghazi story of the last year is, with the Benghazi story, immediately you had a divide on Capitol Hill, where mostly Republican lawmakers were like, the administration dropped the ball, the State Department dropped the ball, you know, this has just been a mess from the get-go. With the Boston attacks, well, I think there have been some complaints from a handful of high-level Republican senators and congressmen. Overall, the tenor coming out from both Republicans and Democrats is like, this is a serious attack, and the last thing we want to do is politicize it. Mm-hmm. So this has kind of toned down this idea that maybe even if the FBI or the CIA could have done a better job, you're not going to hear a lot of lawmakers on the Hill going forward say, oh, well, they dropped the ball. There's going to be if anybody is saying that, it's going to come out as, well, we feel that there was a potential mistake in this area, and this is how we want to deal with it. It's a much more positive tone surrounding the whole case than the Benghazi.
And speaking of toning things down, I see where the State Department has backed away from John Kerry's comments about one of the brothers being radicalized in Russia.
Well, look, I mean, I think John Kerry, there's obviously some kind of message control issues here coming out of the White House on this, because you had John Kerry yesterday say that, and then immediately it was retracted both by the White House and the State Department. And then in Boston yesterday, Joe Biden called these two brother bombers knockoff jihadis.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that. You probably talked about it earlier on the show. So, well, the question immediately becomes, is he trying to refer to some intelligence that's out there that suggests that these guys really were not at all connected to any international movement? They were just a couple guys that were, like, cooking up bombs in a basement in Boston, or that made this up all on their own? So also there was some retraction on Joe Biden's, but I think with Biden, people are used to those kind of retractions.
Yeah, so. I think you're right. All right, Guy, appreciate the update on both stories. We'll talk again, my friend. Take care.
Okay, thanks. Have a good one, Andy.
You too. Guy Taylor, Washington Times State Department correspondent. 358, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT.